rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. First, we're going to start out the show with some breaking news for our man from the sports radio, Mr. Skinny.
Jim.
Yeah, you're on. I can hear you.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're there.
Hey, breaking news is the Elk City Weatherford game scheduled for Friday at 7 o'clock has been moved up to tomorrow. So Thursday at 7, the Elks will go to Weatherford, trying to get ahead of the weather situation that looks like it's coming in on Friday. So Elk City Weatherford will be a 7 o'clock kick tomorrow on Big Elk TV and then also on Cool 94. So
cool. And that's the only one's changed that we know of.
Clinton and Cash. I think everybody in the Elk City's district has changed to Thursday. Talked to Mr. Doherty out at Merritt. They haven't had any discussions about moving that, at least this morning. So okay. Merritt's still Friday up at Hooker. But the Big Elks and Weatherford have changed till 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you Jim. Very much.
Hey, during softball, you can come on my show.
Okay, cool. That's how we do things around here, Mr. Watkins.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got some cooperation.
So it's the way we roll around here. All right, let's start. I got Kent Watkins here from SEI Agritech here in Elk City, and we're coming up in the next segment. He'll be coming on talking about, we start talking about soil health, because I got a couple questions that I seen yesterday at Spencer Smith at the Heartland soil health deal that I wanted to hit him up about, because about, I'd say 79.5% of the stuff that I've learned about soil health has come from you. I don't even know how I come up with that, but sounded good anyways. So we'll have that coming up. First of all, let's check out some temperature. 74 degrees at Hollis. Basically, all of western Oklahoma is anywhere from 73 to 75 degrees. But out here in the Panhandle, Goodwell and Boise City, you're 62 degrees. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, let's see what's going on out there. More of the same. Everybody's 75, 76, 74 degrees. So, Odell, you're 75. Looks like Wellington, 76. They're the warm spot right now. And it is windy. And good drying weather for whatever we need dried out right now. So, first of all, I have some news for you. I've already had a couple of people message me. And it is true that the USDA has opened their offices back up for a few certain things, not everything. So it says here, the USDA plans to distribute billions of dollars in farm aid as it resumes operations Thursday, according to Secretary Brooke Rollins on social media. The USDA's Farm Service Agency will resume core operations, including loan processing, ag risks coverage, and price loss coverage, and other programs. Not everything, but some of them. The amount of aid will top $3 billion, she said. All 2,100 FSA offices in the United States will reopen this week to distribute the funds to farmers, she said in an interview on Fox Business. USDA, along with other agencies, have been closed since the ongoing government shutdown that started October 1st. And so there you go. The funds will come from the Commodity Credit Corp, originally created in 1933 to ensure farm incomes that allow the government to borrow from the U.S. Treasury to finance its activity, the Wall Street Journal and reported. So there you have it. It is true, but it's not on everything. So if I get that list today from somebody from the FSA that might be listening, I'll share it with you. But that's all it is. It's just core operations. I'm pretty sure you can get your check signed, you know, your co-checks that you get with the FSA and the cattle. A lot of guys waiting on that. So that's mañana, tomorrow, Thursday, not today. So don't be going by there and banging on the door and blowing the phone up. Just be cool. Wait till tomorrow. Everything will be good, which is good news for everybody. A lot of guys had a bunch of checks that they needed signed, so to get some bills paid. A couple other things I wanted to share with you. This is from the RCAF USA. Market participants know that increased imports from Argentina will reduce demand for domestic cattle, and that's why cattle markets have responded negatively to President's plan, and there couldn't be a worse time for this to happen, as many producers are getting ready to sell this year's production, meaning they will receive less for their cattle. And that will threaten the ability to remain economically viable, particularly as they face increased input costs in their operations. For decades, the government has been inviting more imports from countries such as Brazil, Argentina, etc., claiming these increased imports will provide customers more choices and lower consumer beef prices. This did not work and cannot work in a market where these imports are not differential. Basically, we don't know where they're coming from because they don't have the country of origin label, and where competitive market forces have been replaced with corporate control by concentrated global beef markets and concentrated beef retailers. There's a wave of beef pricing fixing cases working their way through the court system right now. President Trump should direct his antitrust enforcers to determine the extent to which the alleged unlawful price fixing has contributed to today's higher beef prices. And I mean, just the other day I read where, who was it? Cargill and somebody else just had to pay big fines. JBS has been having to pay big fines. What I want to find out, and maybe somebody out there knows, I want to know where these big fines go to. Do you know?
I do not know.
No. So that's what I want to do. They're talking like $300 or $400 million in fines in the last 2 years that I can remember from stories I've wrote. I want to know where that money went.
Maybe back into the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on. All right, let's see here. So we urge to manage imports, the president to manage imports and restore mandatory country of origin label for beef, and to end the monopolies controlled by the big four, as they always say. And I don't know, one of these days somebody can explain to me, maybe I'll run into Frank Lucas or somebody like that and explain to them why the Stockyards Act is not enforced. I don't get it, and I don't think anybody else get it. There's more, a lot more to the story than we know. Then on the flip side of this, one more thing before we go to our first break is from Dr. Daryl Peel from Oklahoma State University. And he came out with the deal a couple days ago, and some of you guys might have read it, but I haven't had time to read it, so I just wanted to share this with you. I'm sharing both sides of the Argentina deal with you guys. It doesn't appear, according to him, that increasing beef imports from Argentina would have any significant impacts on U.S. beef prices. Argentina is the sixth largest beef producing country and the fifth largest beef exporting country, accounting for roughly 6% of global beef exports. Argentine beef production is about 27% of total U.S. production. In recent years, Argentine beef exports have been growing, with the majority of the beef exports going to China, along with Israel, the European Union, and the U.S. Argentina is the ninth largest source of beef imports in the U.S., accounting for 2.1% of total U.S. beef imports thus far in 2025. U.S. imports of Argentine beef have been growing in recent years and were up 41% year over year through July. That's the latest data available since the shutdown. It's not clear how much capacity to increase beef exports exists currently in Argentina. Domestic beef consumption in Argentina uses 70 to 75% of total beef production in the country. If, for example, the U.S. doubled imports over the 2024 levels, it would likely most be at expense of domestic consumption in Argentina and other export markets for Argentine beef. In other words, they need it in their own country, according to this. Such an increase in imports from Argentina would have a negative impact on the total supply of beef in the U.S. In fact, if the U.S. took all the projected 2025 Argentine beef exports, which is not likely, he said, it would represent less than 2.5% of the total U.S. beef supply. The majority of Argentine beef imports, like I've said a couple times this week, are lean processing beef used for ground beef production. This beef is quite similar to beef imported from Brazil, and most other import sources. Imports from Argentina are less than 10% of imports from Brazil. Increasing imports from Argentina would have a very slight impact in offsetting the reduction imports from Brazil expected because of the sharp increase on tariffs on Brazil. How about that?
It's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's both sides of the story for you guys. I'm sharing it with you. And like I said, I've pointed out a few times that we import beef from other countries for the lean trimmings because our cattle are too fat here in America to grind up. That's a bottom line, but it's just crazy. So, all right, before we go to the first break, I have the Taylor Ranch question of the day for the three amigos. Jesus, the original is Jose, and the barbecue is Juanito.
Okay.
I finally got them memorized. Here's your Taylor Ranch question of the day, because it is the Taylor Ranch happy hour today. Consumer demand for beef has recently surged. It is currently at a how many year high? A, 31 years, B, 34, C, 37, D, 40 years. Consumer demand for beef has recently surged. It is currently at a how many year high? A, 31, B, 34, C, 37, D, 40 years. 580-225-9697 is the Fowler Agency text line. I'll take number, pick a number between 1 and 10.
6.
All right, we'll take the 6th correct answer on this. And if you just want to play, don't send your name. But if you want to win these Taylor Ranch beef sticks, you got to send your name with your answer. We'll take a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-AD2 radial tires. And get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Trade in and save on Milwaukee Tools this month at Napa. Trade in and save $250 on a 1-inch D-handle extension anvil high-torque impact wrench with one key. Trade in and save $100 on Milwaukee 3/4-inch, 1/2-inch, and 3/8-inch impact wrenches. Trade in and save $50 on Milwaukee ratchet kits. Trade in any professional brand competing impact wrench or ratchet, pneumatic or cordless. Trade in and save on Milwaukee Tools this month at Napa in Oak City, Weatherford, and Hinton.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hi, folks. This is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
To raise market-topping cattle, you need the cream of the crop. Black Hereford Ranch invites you to their 21st annual Fall Cream of the Crop Herd Bull and Female Sale, Saturday, October 25th at the ranch near Crawford, Oklahoma at their new time, 2:30 p.m. or bid online at cci.live. Selling 70 deep, wide body, sound, good looking 18 to 24 month old herd bull candidates. They're good, beefy kind, tested and ready to turn out. Also selling 20 of their very best spring bred heifers. Hereford, Sim, Angus, Charlet, Angus, Composite, and American Cross, the kind that'll produce market toppers. For sale information, videos, online catalog, and requests, visit BlackHerefordRanch.com or call 580-309-0711. The Black Hereford Ranch Fall Cream of the Crop Herd Bull and Female Sale, Saturday, October 25th at their new time, 2:30 p.m. Join them at the ranch at Crawford, Oklahoma, or bid online at cci.live. Beef up your cattle operation with the cream of the crop at Crawford.
Have you had a little fender bender and don't know where to get it fixed? Take it to Skunk Works Paint and Body in Sayre. They're a full-service paint and body shop with the skills to get the job done right. They also have computer color matching and custom paint for your motorcycle. All insurance providers are accepted, and they work with fleet services. Give Skunk Works Paint and Body a call for a free estimate today at 580-928-5005. You can also find their ad inside the Penny News.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Again, my man Skinny come on here earlier in the show. The Elk City Weatherford game that's being played at Weatherford football has been moved to tomorrow evening at Weatherford. Same time, what is it, 7 o'clock? Yep, 7 o'clock kickoff. So far, that's the only one that I know of. If something else comes up, I will do. Well, I really don't want to. I'm curious what caused this today. Haven't been paying much attention because of peanut harvest. Here is your Central Crop Care grain market update. December, 423, up 3.5. That's December corn. March is 436, up 2.25. Soybeans for November, 1034. Up 4, January 1050, up 1.5. Remember when I first started doing this report, when I started the show?
What about it?
How I'd screw it up.
Oh, yeah. You're horrible.
I got better, haven't
I? Yeah, you've gotten better.
All right. Then let's see here. Soybean meals, December, $289.90, up $3. January, $292.20, up $230. Hard red winter wheat, December, $488, up 3.5. March, 507, up 2. Live cattle, December, 240.57, down 485. February, 241.07, up 520. Feeders for November, is 364.25, basically down the limit, 922. And January, 361.02, down 9.25. Somebody said something today, didn't they?
Yes.
Get her done, they said. All right, Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech. He stops in here about once a month, and we get to talk about some cool stuff. First of all, Kent, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you a lot for having me.
Huh?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I will. And then, first of all, let's start out with what things we always start out with, yep. Soil health.
We always start out there, 6 pillars of soil health. We'll go across it kind of quickly. First one for us is armor on the soil, and that means keep it covered up, don't let it blow, and don't let it wash. And the second one would be diversity in plant life. So you want the different plants to be rooting down to different rooting horizons so that they can help each other during stress times. And low diversity, that means no-till planters and no-till drills and no disc and plows and all that stupidity. Living root, number 4, living root in soil as long as possible. You got to remember the microbes live around the root systems. So you want to keep the microbes, as many of them, as live as possible and continuing to reproduce. And then fifth, livestock where it fits, where you have fence or where you have water, those kinds of things. If you can't deal with the livestock, I bet you can find somebody to rent your ground that can deal with the livestock. And then the sixth one is context. And what that means is don't expect your farm to do as well as if you're in your first 2 or 3 years. Don't expect your farm to do as well as somebody who's been doing it 30 years. Theirs is going to outperform you. That's just the way it is. So bottom line is we didn't wreck it in a year. We're not going to fix it in a year.
And it's the truth.
It's ongoing.
Yeah.
Continuous.
And they reiterated that yesterday out here at Spencer and Jimmy's when they were talking about that. So what was that test I was asking you about?
Slake.
That was the coolest test ever I seen yesterday.
I saw that 15 years ago at a conference in Oklahoma City, and that's what sold me on it right there. That slake.
It was just, they had the soil from tilled ground in one tube and no-till soil in the other one. And that water that they poured automatically went to. So I think you've talked about it on my show. When you drive around after a good hard rain, and whether it's during the summer or whatever, and you look across there and you see a lot of water standing in fields. And nowadays, the no-till regenerative deal is it's slowly catching on. And so Meg from the Oklahoma Conservation Soil Conservation, she came out to my place one time this summer, and she said, down there in that lower bottom, you still have a hard pan. She said, but what I have noticed, because it had been raining constantly up before she came in there, and she said, you have no erosion going off. All that water you had, even through that hard pan, it went through that hard pan.
Yes.
Yeah, it seeped through. So it's pretty cool, the concept behind all of it. I know it's not for everybody.
No, it really is for everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think really for Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle, no-till today, no-till cover crop today is where no-till was 30 years ago.
Right.
In the very beginning. And we've been at it 15 years out here, easily 15 years.
Yeah.
And we're still learning how to crawl and walk.
Right. You know, yeah, it's really the last 2 years it showed up really good for me.
Yep.
And it's and this summer was even better because of my cover crops I was growing during the summer. Mm-hmm. Instead of them, because rain's important too. But one thing I've noticed about the no-till is with cover crops is I have moisture right now that's right. Just waiting to be used for me. It helps conserve the moisture, and it's not gone. And, you know, even my landlord said after I dug the peanuts the other day, because I'm disturbing the soil there. Sure. Because I have to.
Yeah.
And, but he said, man, 3 inches down, that's solid water, moisture there. So
you keep it covered up, you'll conserve moisture. If guys don't believe that, go pick up a big round bale of hay that's been sitting in your fence row somewhere for a while. Go pick it up in the middle of August. And look, that ground directly underneath, it's wet.
Oh, yeah.
Even with no rainfall, it's wet.
Yep, it's got moisture. And another thing that I was listening to, or I got to actually see the Haney test that Spencer did on a couple of farms up here north of town. One was from a conventional till, one was from a no-till, and then one was from the fence row.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, that fence row had a lot of fertilizer in it. That's why the weeds grow so good.
Yep. Yeah, the fence row, you get a fence row that hadn't been disturbed in years.
Yeah.
The soil health there is unbelievable.
Oh, it's crazy. It was a cool event to go to. So I have I have one question for you, but the other one is somebody, one of the listeners says, talk about prairie dog bait. I have them. I want to eliminate them. That's coming up the last segment of the show. That's all we're going to talk about is prairie dogs, gophers, and feral hogs.
Right.
That's what we got to look for here. But the other question I already have one comes in with what we're talking about right now. I got so many text messages here. Let's go. Question. Is it too late for a cover crop? If not, what blends do you recommend for cover and maybe make it into the spring? Make hay into the spring.
Okay, so just use rye and triticale, either or both.
Okay.
Okay. And then at this date, since we're in way into October now, just use Harry Vetch. Don't worry about the others. Harry Vetch will likely make it through the winter just fine. Now, it's going to burn off and disappear on you in the middle of the winter. But
man, in the spring, boy, I sent you pictures of mine.
Yeah, it'll come back.
And comes through it because of binging.
Yeah, and it makes that hay quality, if you cut it down for hay, it makes that hay quality really good.
Okay, so why Harry Vetch and why like this summer I had hemp in mine? What do those products do to your ground, and what is it good for above ground?
Okay, so, well, both of them are, let's take the Harry Vetch first. It's a good pollinator.
Yeah.
For the pollinating insects. It fixes nitrogen. They both fix nitrogen. And the root system on both of them are pretty extensive. If you don't just pull it up, if you dig it up, you'll find that it's pretty extensive. The nitrogen nodules on both, when you terminate that, however you terminate it, you'll get a release of nitrogen into the soil for the grass plants that you've planted in there. Now the hemp,
it's for smoking.
It's for smoking. it's a tropical, so don't use a lot of it because it takes a lot of water. And it doesn't matter if it's the short one or the tall one. I don't remember the varieties, but everybody worried about it becoming an invasive species. It takes over 400 days to get that. You will flower if you plant it early and you have a fall like we have this fall where you haven't had a freeze yet. It will flower, but the seed pod will not have time to make seed. So the worry about being an invasive species is a non-issue. So don't even worry about that. But don't put more than a quarter of a pound of it on a per acre basis, because it does use some water.
So you think it probably is, it's a little late in the year for radishes and...
I think they won't make it.
Right. I mean, we've had an unusual fall.
Yeah, but I think we're late enough now, they won't make it.
Right.
When you get a freeze on them, I think they'll freeze out. And I know the Austrian pea will.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, the way it was going, started raining.
Yeah.
They're in late August, September. We have some wheat pasture out there that needs a drink of water right now.
We do.
But they would have worked in. But here we are into October, and basically our first freeze is coming sooner than later.
Yeah, probably in the next 2 weeks we're going to get at least a frost.
Right.
Well, that's pretty much going to end the game for most of those.
Okay, we're going to take a Taylor Ranch break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some feed for weaning calves and stuff like that. But our big segment's coming up towards the last of the show. We're going to be talking about feral hogs, prairie dogs, and gophers.
Okay.
Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Listen up. If your pivot, corner, or linear is 10 years old or pushing 10,000 hours, it's time to update your sprinkler package. New sprinklers will improve your machine's performance, conserve water, and save energy. And replacing old sprinklers may improve yields. Protect your irrigation system investment by updating your sprinkler package. Now's the time to do it. For more information on the latest sprinkler technology, contact Knutson Irrigation today. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Kent Watkins here with SEI AgriTech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Are feral hogs causing damage to your land and crops? Try Kaput, our highly effective bait designed specifically for feral hog control. Kaput targets hogs where it hurts, helping you protect your property and your livestock. Don't wait for the damage to get worse. Call us or stop by today at SEI AgriTech on South Randall in Elk City to learn more about Kaput. Follow us on Facebook for the latest updates and solutions.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 17. 2,143 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 393, brought 526 at 507, brought 455, 9 at 527, brought 421. 7 at 607, brought 365. 3 at 660, brought 340. 8 at 719, brought 324. 4 at 735, brought 342. 6 head of heifers at 389, brought 470. 9 at 451, brought 420. 3 at 500, brought 385. 11 at 540, brought 360. 10 at 611, brought 337.50. 51 at 797, brought 342.50. Butcher cows were 120 to 178. Butcher bulls brought 153 to 198. Bred cows 14.25 to 45.50. Pairs brought 29.50 to 4,000. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I got the Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. I'm going to do Camargo since my cousin Eddie sent in an answer to the Taylor Ranch question of the day, and he got it wrong, so I'm just going to give him his weather instead. 76 degrees, 34 is the dew point, 21 humidity, southwest winds 17 with wind gust up 23. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 66 degrees. Sunset 6:54. Mostly sunny and 78 and 46 tonight and 78 tomorrow. Kent Watkins with SEI AgriTech is in here with the studio with me today, and the questions have already started coming in. They're blowing up the Fowler text line.
That's good.
That's good. All right.
I want Kathy Fowler to have to repair that.
So let's talk about weaning. It's that time. Yeah, some people already started, or some people are getting ready to start.
Yep. So we offer a kind of a foolproof feed for starting calves. The ones most people have heard of is called Maxi Gain. That's LNC's trademarked feed. Mine is the same thing because I blend LNC stuff.
Right.
Mine's called Greater Gains because
it's called what?
Greater Gains.
Okay.
They have lawyers and I don't care about the name, but that's the reason that happened.
Noticed the calves asked for it by name.
Yeah, they do. They do. So people think, well, that's too expensive. So if you look at it, on either one of these products, which is the same thing, the maximum amount of feed they're supposed to be fed a day is 2% of body weight. Okay.
Okay.
So on a 500-pound calf, I would start at 1% of body weight, which would be 5 pounds, and eventually get to 10 pounds, 2%, over a week or 10 days. If you feed no more than 2% of body weight, your cost of daily gain is $1.50. Well, the calves are bringing one side or the other of $5.
Yeah, at so that weight.
Yeah. So can you invest $1.50 per pound to get $5? That's an easy cowboy math question. Yeah.
I don't even think you got to get the calculator out.
I really don't. So, a few guys have said, well, it's too expensive. Okay, but what are you doing? If you're grinding Milo and throwing a little cracked corn in there, and then you're always upset because your performance isn't very good, there's a reason why your performance isn't very good. Greater Gains and Maxi Gain have 15 or 16 products in it to make that product up, and every one of those components that are in that feed have a purpose. They're in there for a reason. They're not just foo-foo something to sell. They're in there for a reason. So I just wanted to touch on this. If you truly do want performance, if you want to get your calves, especially small calves, if you want to get them started with no issues, this is easily the way to go. No question about it. If you want to add CTC to it, we can do that. That's not a problem. And that'll help with the health of the calf, especially small calves that are being weaned.
And we're talking about weaning calves,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, weaning calves or cell barn calves. You know, been through some stress, all that. You may want to start with some CTC and then come off of it pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
But anyway, I just wanted to really touch on that because it's weaning time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit past weaning time for most guys. But, you know, it's just you get what you pay for, you know, most times. And if you're just grinding Milo or throwing some crack corn out there and your performance isn't very good, there's a reason why your performance isn't very good. Their gut is not mature enough.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Well, their gut is not mature enough to handle all that. So, you know.
Hey, one more thing before we take this last break so we can get back and talk about feral hogs, badgers, gophers, prairie dogs. We got it going on the animal part here coming up. But your liquid feed that you have there, doesn't have molasses in it.
No, it doesn't. The one I sell is Mix 30. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
And it is derived from fermented corn and fermented soybeans. They squeeze it, sell the solids off to feedlot, and the liquid that comes out of that is what I have. There is no molasses in it at all.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we all know that cattle like to lick themselves,
right?
And when they're doing that with molasses, to me, what I've seen, it attracts that little varmint that we don't like, right? Flies. And we had plenty of them this year. Doesn't matter whether you had liquid feed out there or not, we had plenty of those liquid feeds out there. So that fermented corn and soybean, it doesn't,
it's a lot less likely to,
but like, yeah, less.
I mean, if you're using a molasses base liquid feed, yeah, the cows are turning themselves into fly lollipops.
Right. So I just wanted to throw that out there on there. And you got, what did you say, 420, same as last year?
Yeah,
same. On the liquid feed?
Yeah.
So, cool beans. All right. I'm going to ask this question one more time because our ag world's not very smart today. I don't mean to call you a dummy or nothing, but here is the Taylor Ranch question of the day for a shot at winning the three amigos, Jose, Juanito, and Jesus. And the question is, consumer demand for beef has recently surged. It is currently at how many year high? 31 is A, B is 34. C is 37, D is 40 years. I have a couple of correct ones, but they're not on the right number on the text line yet. So there you go. 580-225-9697. I don't care if you're in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, wherever. Send in your answer. That is the Fowler Agency text line with your name, and I'll have these three amigos waiting for the winner. Be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in Western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you, your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and two-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
You're so busy out on the farm, you don't run into town unless you absolutely have to. The folks on the east side of Wheeler make it easier for you to stay on the farm. They'll deliver high-pro feed in bulk to your place. They deliver bulk feed in five states. They're used to it. But if you're in town, stop in and ask about lick tubs and talk to them about fertilizer. They've got plenty of that too. Your cattle and crops don't have better friends than the folks at the Wheeler General Store. Sure, they're on Facebook, but mostly they're on Highway 152 on the east side of Wheeler. That's Wheeler General Store.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's see here. Let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Mangum, 78, 35 dew points. Humidity's 21. The winds are out of the south at 12. The wind gusts up to 18. 70 is the three-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature. Sunrise or sunset at 6:56. 80 today, 51 tonight, 82 tomorrow. Also, I'd like to throw this in here before we get back to Kent. Is looks like most of southwestern Oklahoma, including southern parts of Ouachita County and southern parts of Beckham County, Harmon, Greer, Jackson, Tillman, Comanche and Kiowa County is under an elevated fire risk. So you guys, the wind's going to be blowing. It is dry out there. Hopefully the weather forecast is correct. We're going to start getting some rain tomorrow evening, late after the Elk City football game. And Friday, good chances of rain. Look like anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half. East side 35, of course, where they get all the rain. They already got flood watches out. So Mr. Kent Watkins is in here, and we're going to be talking about, from SEI Agritech, we're going to be talking about feral hogs, feral gophers, feral prairie dogs, and feral badgers.
Okay.
I got that. Oh, we got us a winner finally. Do you know that guy that just won? Top. Yep. You know him?
No, I don't know
him. Oh, you don't know him? No. The correct answer, we do have a correct answer. I will text the winner. I don't want to say his name on the radio without his permission. But the answer is 40 years. D,
I would say
40 years. So for the Taylor Ranch question of the day. Kaput.
They have, we have, I'm a distributor for them. And we have different baits for different rodents. We have from mice, rats, prairie dogs, gophers, feral hogs. What I want to focus on today is feral hogs.
Okay.
Most of the summer crops are being harvested now, and now you can see the feral hogs and the damage that they're doing. So I'm going to give you the bad news first, and then we'll go to the solution.
Okay.
So here's what it is through 2023. Across 13 southern states, from Alabama through New Mexico, including Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri, the damage that they do forces each farmer to pay an average of $1,370 on their farm in increased insurance rates, loss of use, wildlife degradation, all the different things that feral hogs cause. In Oklahoma, it's $1,700 that it doesn't matter if you've got 100 acres or 10,000.
Right.
You're going to pay it. Now, I'm not talking about $1,700 per acre over your whole operation.
Right.
And you're mainly in your insurance, increased insurance rates.
Right.
In Texas, that number's $2,500.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma and Texas, probably the, maybe besides Georgia, we're the most invested,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nationally, it's $1,370 nationally. But that's really confined to the southern third of the nation, really and truly. All right, so in Oklahoma, through 23, feral hogs did $250 million worth of damage. Nationally, $1.8 billion in damage. They estimate more than 1 million hogs in the state of Oklahoma and more than 3 million in Texas. The cost to trap hogs and then send the hogs to hog heaven on average is $35 to $38 per head, and it doesn't matter if they weigh 20 pounds or 500. That's just an average. Okay. It doesn't matter what size they are. The with those methods, you always have escapes. You always have those ones that escape. Well, those are either young boars, typically, or young gilts. Those are not berries, so they're going to be reproducing.
Oh, yeah.
The females will have 3 litters a year, anywhere from 8 to 15 each time. So they're going to outrun you pretty quickly.
30 to 40 new pigs,
yeah,
per year.
They're going to outrun you pretty quickly. The other losses that you suffer that you don't think about is wildlife loss, ground birds that nest like quail. See, because hogs are, they're omnivores. So they will eat plant life and they will eat meat too. And they will eat you as well, Jimmy. So they will destroy ground nesting birds like, let's say, grouse or prairie chicken.
Quail,
yeah, all those. They will eat the young. They'll eat small mammals. There's nothing good to say about it. So that's kind of the bad news. The good news is we have a solution now that's was tried in Texas 2 years ago, and now it's been labeled for the use in Oklahoma, and it's called Kaput Feral Hog Bait. The active ingredient in it is warfarin, and warfarin is a blood thinner. It's your doctor, some people know full well that warfarin is used in the medical industry to thin blood if you're one of those people that need that. It's also the product that was used years ago in the old decon bait for mice in the house, you know. It just thins the blood, and they bleed out, the mice bled out through their lungs is how that worked. There is a way to do this. This product is restricted use. So there are steps to follow. And I really want everybody to follow these steps, because this is the only tool we have to control feral hogs that is reasonably priced, that is going to work. Because going out night hunting and trapping, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but when you consider the number of pigs that a sow can have a year, those methods are a joke. You're not going to be able to get ahead of it. This method will over time. So the first thing that you have to do, come by the store, give me a call, and I'll give you a QR code. And then the second step is on your phone, access the QR code and take a little 30-minute test. I'm going to give you a label book. It's 2 pages. It's an open book test. So take the little 20-question test. In Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture absolutely insists that you make a 100. Okay, so everybody says, well, I don't know that I can make 100. You can take it 40 times if you want to. Just write
till you get it right.
Till you get it right. Just keep it. Reread the question.
That's the way they was with me in high school.
There you go. That always helps. And just reread the question and make sure you're reading it correctly first. And then you can find the answer. The label is not very extensive at all.
Okay.
Okay. And then at that point, identify where the hogs are, either through tracks or visual or cameras, however you want to do that. Then you can go set out the lure yet, and the lure can, you can buy the lure, the manufactured lure from us, or you can use crack corn or DDG pellets or something like that. But you have to get them comfortable, and that's a, you should use the lure 10 to 20 days, some would say an average of 14 to maybe 17 days in a row. And what you do, we have the feeders. You just go fill the feeders up and tie the lids up so they can get to it. They can understand what it is and they can get comfortable with it. Now, these feeders are special feeders in the fact that they are weighted, they have lids on them. The other thing before I get started on that, any livestock that you have in that pasture, in that area, they need to come out, because this chemistry is going to affect any warm-blooded animal.
Okay.
So it's going to affect your horses, your cows, your sheep, your goats, anything you want to keep, llamas, doesn't matter, warm-blooded, it's going to affect them. So move them out, close the gate, okay? And then start in with the lure, do that for, let's say, 17 days on average. And at that point, the feeder is a special feeder in that it has a weighted lid on it. So through research, they know that everybody knows what the old-time hog feeders looked like. They had the lids that they flopped down and all that. This is a weight on top of that. They know that raccoons, let's say, through research, can get enough raccoons around this feeder to lift 15 pounds. So what the raccoons do is they get all their buddies around the lid, they all lift on it, and then two or three get in there and drag the feed out on the ground.
Yeah, and they're scavenging little punks.
There you go. But they can't get enough raccoons around the lid to lift 17 pounds. But a hog still can.
Right.
And they do. So you have to get them used to that, get them eating like that, and then let the lids down. Then the hogs have to get used to that banging sound that the lid's going to make. They have to get comfortable that they know that it's okay to eat. After you get to that point, then it's put the bait in there and then monitor that bait every 2 to 4 days. Go in the middle of the day so you don't disturb them at night. And you're going to start finding dead hogs pretty quickly. You have to dispose of those hogs.
Yep.
Supposed to bury them, but if you have other means, that's up to you. It is, if done right, it is 100% effective. You will not have any escapes. The cost on it on a per hog basis, where the trapping and all that was $35 to $38. The cost on this is $18 to $20 per head. So that's the Reader's Digest version of it.
So for more questions, you just need to stop by SEI Agritech and talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be
talk good. About prairie dogs and gophers. He's got the stuff for it.
I've got everything you need. Yep.
Thanks, Kent.
You bet.
It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sayre America.
You've been listening to